Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Jamie and Stoney Show on 97.1 The Ticket. Kyle Bogey is in for Stoney. He will be back on Monday. All right, so to count down 150 years of college football, Sports Illustrated has been releasing lists, and we have been talking about them each day this week. A couple days ago, we did the game of the year. Yesterday, we did the rival, not the, of the year, the game, the best game of all time. Yesterday, we did the best rivalry of all time. And now today, we have the list of the top 10 greatest traditions in college football. Okay? And you can say to yourself, okay, what's a tradition? What is a tradition? A tradition would be like Michigan touching the MGO blue banner as they come running across the field. Mm-hmm. A tradition would be like the Ohio State band dotting the I, which actually finishes third on this, that tradition. So of all the traditions in sports, what is your favorite tradition in college football? 248-539-9797.
One that I've never really understood, and I guess what people are really fond of it, is it Clemson that does the run down the hill
or
whatever it is? Yeah, is that what it is?
Rock.
And they sprint down the hill. I've always been terrified that a player, particularly a big lineman, is going to like tear an ACL or something, you know, running down that hill.
Will trip
as they go
and just roll all the way down the hill.
Yeah. I think I was talking to Tom about this the other day. The Red River Shootout, you know, the Oklahoma-Texas neutral site. You got the Oklahoma, you know, wagon or whatever with the horses and the fans coming together and splitting the arena or splitting the stadium, whatever you want to call it. I've always found that to be a really, you know, cool deal.
Yeah.
I hate Notre Dame. Absolutely hate Notre Dame.
What tradition, like touching the play like a champion today or the spraying of the helmets?
The play like a champion today. I do like that. The video
I like that.
That you see going down the stairs and each individual player tapping it and all that.
I think that's cool.
I don't mind that. I hate everything else about Notre Dame. I wish they lose every single game.
What about the little short person who's dressed up as a leprechaun on the sideline? You don't like that?
I hope he never has sex in his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is harsh.
Like, what level do you have to get to be that guy?
Apparently a pretty high level.
A jackass. I don't know.
All right. So the top three in this particular list, number one, and you kind of alluded to it when you talked about the Red River Shootout. Number one is the Sooner Schooner. That would be the chuck wagon, the Oklahoma wagon that comes onto the field, and they all say Boomer Sooner. And that's number one. Number two is Howard's Rock at Clemson. And number three is the Ohio dotting of the I on the field as they take the field before the game. Those are the three, according to this list, greatest traditions in the history of college football.
Where is, I guess, on the list, Ohio State mollywhopping Michigan every year? Where
that
is that tradition?
Not or, make no? the list, okay. Bogey. That is very
okay.
cynical on your part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Greg's giving me the stink eye right now.
I actually got to say my favorite tradition is kind of goes with what we were talking about yesterday. So I'm kind of merging two topics here. My favorite tradition is the Army-Navy game. I think that's the coolest tradition. And the reason why I don't think it's the greatest rivalry, even though those two schools are great rivals, is that the game doesn't impact the season. The game doesn't impact who's going to play for the national championship. Hell, it doesn't even impact who plays in the bowl game. But it has so much meaning to so many people. And even if the game has no relevance to any sort of standings, it's still a great game. You have the two battalions marching in, wearing the, you know, the gray coats and the blue coats. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a really, really cool tradition.
Just
everything about that game is a great tradition.
One that I'm assuming it'll be on the list in the years to come, but it's too new is the new Iowa tradition at Kinnick Stadium with the children's hospital overlooking, you know, the field and everyone. You know, wait, what is it, the end of the third quarter or first quarter? I can't remember what
but
it is.
It is a
awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah.
This topic's great. I think this is the best one of all the ones with this college football
thing. Do you really? Because I don't know there's that many entries to it.
I think it's just the opposite. I think you've got to broaden your horizons and really start to think about all the little unique things. So you made me just think of one that I hadn't thought when you said the fourth quarter, third quarter, whatever. The Wisconsin House of Pain.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Jump around.
That's
not
on the top 10 list, and I think that's one of the great traditions. I love that.
How about this? It's never been moved. the Rose Bowl at 5 o'clock on New Year's Day, and to have the backdrop and when the sun is setting, it is just majestic. I mean, even Mike Valeni has borderline gotten emotional because he's been there and seen.
Well,
it
they
in
did
person.
Move it. They have moved it. I mean, when Miami won the national championship over Nebraska back in like what 01 or something like that. They played the Rose Bowl at night on a Monday night. So they have moved
it. But didn't
it.
They didn't still play it that year, though, the regular Rose Bowl?
No, I think the Rose Bowl was the BCS national championship game when Larry Coker won his one national title. But, yeah, I know
it's
what you're saying.
Every 4 years or whatever
but,
they
but,
rotate.
But with the new BCS or with the new playoff format, you're right. It is solid there, right there, 5 o'clock, New Year's Day. The first half is always bathed in sunlight, and then they turn the lights on at halftime, and the second half is always at night. And the weather, for whatever reason, like if you ever want to get a wedding day where you know it's not going to rain, get married in Pasadena, California on New Year's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
It will never rain there. It's always, the weather's always perfect for the Rose Bowl.
I remember there's like, what was it, the Ohio State, USC, one of those Rose Bowls. It was kind of raining. Besides that, you're right.
Oh, I don't even remember that. Yeah.
It's so rare. It's just in the fields painted perfectly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they use different paint. They must use fair.
It's like they use different grass. They use different everything. I mean, it is a majestic place to see a game. I love it.
Is Eastern Michigan still doing the whole, when they come out on the field, they have a cement wall and, sledgehammer, through it? Or is that?
Did somebody mentioned that on Ticket Text,
really?
The mighty Eastern Michigan Eagles busting down a cinder block wall with a sledgehammer.
Do they still do that?
I don't know. Remember the first time they did and they couldn't get through it? That was fantastic.
It was.
Let's go to the phones. Michael and Celine, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Michael.
Hi, guys. I got a good one that's important to me and, that is in Tallahassee, Florida, at Doak Campbell Stadium. Chief Osceola marches out on his painted horse, rears up on his hind legs, and throws the feathered spear right down at the 50-yard line to celebrate the beginning of every game. My dad was a season ticket holder and a graduate of Florida State for a long time, and even though we lived in Michigan, he still went to all the games, and I had the pleasure of going to a number of them. And other than the Michigan M Go Blue banner, I'd put that second on my list.
Wow. I find it to be politically incorrect, so therefore I find it objectionable. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Some people obviously do, but you're right. That's one of the great traditions. Speaking of Michigan, we have a ticket text here from Bogey in Ferndale.
Oh.
Michigan should stop touching the banner. They should walk out heads down and sit on the bench until they win a game that matters.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they should just take down the banner, for God's sake.
Zero swag, okay?
Yeah.
You know, if you make a tackle,
I
don't want you getting up
to touch the banner.
Yeah, I don't want you getting up flexing, okay, and having any swagger until you actually, win a big game, okay?
Bogey doesn't think they should wear the winged helmet anymore. It should be, like, blue with a block M on
the
side.
You know what? I think Rich Rodriguez was on to something when he took Tate Forcier's wings away, and he had just a blue helmet. You should have to earn those wings. Doesn't Ohio State do something like that with the freshmen? Is it the number? You have to earn your number or something like that? I can't remember what it is. Ohio State has something very similar to that.
Dude, I will never forget this, and I'm sure he probably has completely forgotten this because it was like a total... When John Jansen was in Lions training camp, that was the same time when Rich Rod pulled that crap with the wings.
That crap?
Yeah, it was stupid. And I remember I asked Jansen about that in the Lions locker room, and he was furious. He thought it was one of the dumbest things he'd ever heard.
What's wrong with making a freshman earn his stripes?
It wasn't freshman. It was Tate Forcier.
Yeah, but wasn't that very early on in his career?
I think
it
was
his
second year, but it was just dumb. It was like, look, you're a Michigan player. You wear the helmet. You don't earn, you earned it when you got the scholarship. Oh, God.
They had the whole number one thing, too.
Well, yeah, that was not, that wasn't great.
He butchered the number one.
Yeah, that was tough.
That guy was such a buffoon.
He was not the best.
Yeah, well, now you can say it.
No, I said it all along. He was a gimmick and a joke.
Let's go to Devin in Southfield on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Devin.
How's going, fellas?
How you doing?
Good. I'd say for traditions, it's kind of a new one, the Iowa Wave that they do after the first quarter to the Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty awesome.
I mean, what can you say bad about it, right? I mean, you have to be a pretty cynical person to find any issue with that. It's a really neat tradition. I think you're exactly right, Devin.
I mean, even Bogey likes it.
Mike in Brighton, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, great topic, by the way, too. But, if you've never been there, Camp Randall Stadium to start the fourth quarter when they play jump around, it's absolutely crazy to be in the middle of that. And you can feel the stadium start moving underneath you. It's nuts.
You know, I love that tradition. I think it's great. But when I always think about the fact that it was Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium when they beat Michigan back in, what, 93, when those fans died. Remember, they got trampled? And I always think, yeah, is this the right stadium to be doing jump around in if it's already structurally unsound? But they clearly have gotten it more sound. And then you know that, I think at commencement as well at Wisconsin, when they're three quarters of the way through the commencement ceremony, they do jump around.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of the girls are wearing heels. Whoa.
Well, they're just kind of bobbing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe just looking like they're exactly jumping up and down. Yeah, okay.
Let's go to Tyler on a cell phone, 97.1 The Ticket. How you doing, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning to you. What's up, man?
Hey, I think one of the best ones, I don't know how long they've been doing it, but it's Enter Sandman at Virginia Tech.
That's a very good one.
That got me really hyped.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that song came out in what, like the early 90s, and I don't know when Virginia Tech started doing it, but that it does kind of coincide with Virginia Tech getting to be a pretty good elite program. Not exactly the timeline, but around that same time.
Yeah, I thought it was just really cool.
Very cool. I like that. I mean, it's not a tradition, but I remember when Michigan played the first ever night game against Notre Dame, and they were all doing the dun, 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 whatever they call it, 11 Army. What was it called again?
Seven Nation Army.
Thank
you. Yeah, the White Stripes, right?
Yeah, White Stripes.
Yeah, which is great.
When they were all doing that in that venue with the lights and the maize and blue, and that was a really cool sight. I wouldn't call that necessarily a tradition, but it's a pretty cool sight.
Hey, I'll say this. Michigan night games, that atmosphere, they need to do that as many times as they possibly can.
Well, I'm sure that the Middle Tennessee State atmosphere will be just like that Notre Dame
that's a good
atmosphere
point.
Was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very similar.
But hey, keep playing Michigan Ohio State at noon. Cool. Good idea.
Well, they said, I guess Ward Manuel did a podcast, I think, with Angelique, and he was talking about the various games, and he said that they are much more likely to have the Notre Dame game be at night than the Michigan State game. He seems intent on having the Michigan State game during the day.
It's the time of the year, the colder weather, November 16th this year, Michigan State. Yeah.
It's that late this year?
Yes.
Wow. Well, they played a night game a couple years ago, and it rained, which is the only reason why Michigan lost.
Yeah, and there were arrests he talked about and stuff.
So. Well, and if it snows this year, Michigan has no chance.
No.
It's
unfair to even ask them to play.
Did the Big Ten even think about that? I mean, you need an even playing field, don't you?
We could probably dome it.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.